church has to pray. We want to look at the authority of the believer. And we're going to be studying from Paul's instruction in Ephesians 6:10, when it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, "The house is as good or as strong as a foundation that is built upon." That's why we spend your time, you know, laying good foundation before we explain any Bible concepts. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, as I always teach you, always read the background. The background of this was that Paul was telling Timothy that he that will live in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution in verse 12. Verse 13, evil men and seditions shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, and continuing thou in the things which you have learned, and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou art learned. And that, so that's where he came from. That is, it was a reassurance of his faith. And then he says, "And that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Now, the terminology he uses there, child, is the word brepos, B-R-E-P-H-O-S. Now, I told you before, when you see words in Scripture, you must ask the question, from a child, like a young boy, or from a child spiritually speaking? So you must ask, which one is he referring to? Is he talking? Now, it's very easy to say he's talking about him from a child, but that's a bit interesting because my history, he's a young man. That's why I say, let no man despise your youth. So it's easy to talk, oh, he's talking about when he was a child. But then, again, in Bible study, you must look at the implication or the meaning of the term. Not only breakfast, can be found in the four Gospels, used about five times, in Luke 1:31 to describe Jesus as an infant, used for a baby actually, Luke 1:44, the same thing, both Jesus and John the Baptist I met, in Luke 2:12 and Luke 2:16, Luke 1:41, Luke 1:44, Luke 2:12 and Luke 2:16, so it's used for a baby. A child, an infant. And then in Acts 7:19 as well, Acts 7:19, young children in time of Moses. However, this phrase was used by Peter speaking in 1 Peter 2:2. And I need you to understand the use of words. I want to major a bit on that in this service. It says, as newborn babes. Now, in English, when you say as, many times you are using a figure of speech. And so it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That's what I think so. Now, you are thinking that as newborn babes, that is when you are born again as. You're born again a baby. So you begin to grow. Yes. At the new birth, because you have new birth, you think you are born again a baby. When you get born again, everything must cry. Jesus! Then you grow on and you say, Jesus. Jesus, yes. There is no use of language, right? Now, you are not born again the same way a human being is born. That's where he grows. Then you see the picture when you were a baby. Almost everybody was light. Even Pastor Jakes was light. At the new birth. Everybody was light. But as you can see my pictures as a child, I know, how come the sun turns me this way? You know? So you see that, but that's not the same way with a new birth. They are born again a baby. they begin to grow in size and weight. No. Always know when there is an illustration. Okay? So when you say, I've never been born there, or Jesus, nobody is born again as a baby. There's nothing in there. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16, if you can check that, you find Paul interchange two words. In verse 14, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Again, in the Greek, rather than Exodus language. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8 and 14. Then he gets to 15. He says, for I have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Then he says, but the spirit of adoption that I require of God. Now, adoption there means to place as sons. So, it's like he repeats 14 and 15. Then when he gets to 16, he says, the spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children. They use the word teklon. T-E-K-L-O-N. Now, this is where some people believe that, about I've heard somebody say this before, that inward witness is for children. Living is for sons. I mean, that's it. Anyway, you know, so that's how we talk. I think some people, a few of them, who didn't believe, I believe he's not believing, in the gifts of the Spirit. But he says something that's beautiful. He says that if you want an atheist to be born again, this is Pentecostal. Okay, so I said, you will convince an atheist to accept Jesus. When the atheist is silent and wonder, you will think, that's how he said in America, so good idea, you will think. But that's how he said it. He said that you can't trust the Pentecostal as to what you will now say after the miracle. He said, you almost wish there was no miracle. Because do you want God to lift you to another level? Not next level, another level. Is it? In case the government can talk about them. Yes! Can you see? God has made it. Can you see the problem? When you ever see something, if you can't get the best vision there, what can I not do to your business? You didn't ever see that. But that's what the people who just praise the narrative. And so, how can you say, some of God are late, children have inward witness? What sense does that make? Because at the time you're learning that, oh, there is, are you a child or are you a son? Who are that? Tell me, are you a child or are you a children? Because as you know, you are. Now, notice Paul uses the same word to the same set of people. Alright? Now, Paul said this out in Galatians chapter 4, where he uses a parable or illustration about a child, an heir, as long as he's a child, because he's looking for the servant. But he's placed under tutors and government until the time of appointment of the Father. Now, people assume he's talking about spiritual gifts. No. He's talking about Israel, alright, under the law. Now, Israel in redemption. You just read the chapter before, that will be very clear to you. Then he says about, you know, God, in the period of time, sent for his son, made of woman, made of the law, to redeem them under the law. That's what he was saying. So that shouldn't be a problem of study. But not just that. Which is my point of reference. Galatians 4. And as I just showed this service that we will take some time on use of words in the Bible. The Bible says to them that we might receive the adoption of sons. So he uses that same word, adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent by the spirit of the sons in your heart to come out by that. This has to be contradictory. How can you say because you are sons? And after the spirit of the sons. No. It had to be because we are sons, God has said, no, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart so that you are sons. Because in the Greek should be so that, you didn't become a son, then you now send his spirit. That doesn't make any grammatical sense. The Greek of the word because is so that, what is something? The word adoption is used to adopt. When we talk about adoption, in the normal grammar, we say adoption means you go to an orphanage, pick up a child, the child becomes yours. That's close, but that's not what it is. Adoption actually means to set in a place of a son. That's what it means, to set in a place of a son. Something like that, spirit of adoption, we'll lay your hands on it. I think I taught the Galatians 4, about 7 years ago, I think. So, the word euthesia is the key word there, H-O-U-T-E-S-S-I-A, I think I got that spelling wrong. T-H-E-S-I-A, two words are combined there. Holos, which is the word for sons, H-O-U-R-S. Then the word euthesia is the word titani. When you combine words like that, it changes the spelling. Titani, T-I-T-H-E-M-I. Titani means to place. Okay? To place us. So when you say euthesia, it means to place as sons. Or really, it's used for a son position where somebody now occupies. So it's a statement of identification. That is, Christ the Son, we are placed in him. That's the word euthesia. Christ is the Son. And we're placed in him, Christ. We are in Christ, and in Christ reality. Now, the euthesia is used in a few places. I just mentioned them quickly. One of them is Romans 8:14 to 16, or Romans 8:15 precisely, just mark it. And the other place you'll find it will be in Romans 9:10. I want you to look at that because I need your attention on something in there. And since we are studying, if you notice in the last few years, we've been doing a study of the Bible altogether. So that if we say something in Romans, we'll make reference to where it came from. You understand? We advance our study so that we are reading the Bible first from me. Okay. So Romans 9:4, it says, who are the Israelites? To whom pertains the adoption, the glory? Now, who says the adoption in Euthesia? Now, why did he say that? Because the word adoption or Euthesia is in Moses' vocabulary. It's something that came from Moses' writing. Go to Exodus. Now, Moses had a background, and that background, I need your attention here, that background would be the background of if you come from, because we have Abraham, so we have Abraham, and then we have Abel and Cain, but there was no relationship that was spiritual. Okay, we had Enoch, there was no relationship spiritual. We had Noah, there was none. But then, as soon as we got to Abraham, we started hearing the word seed. Okay. I think we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's why it's a reference point. Because then he relates the father and son, which is a mirror in relationship for us. So Moses, having that information, and then from the Exodus chapter 4:22, go there. Now, in case you don't know this, we've done a study recently, identification, I think it was in 3B, where it says Israel. You need to do study that. We studied Israel. What does Israel mean? We need that study sometime last year. So, Exodus 4:22, watch this. Thus shall say to Pharaoh, watch. Thus shall the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Okay? Again, that's prophetic. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. So, we've done this study, Israel is in Christ, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So, when the firstborn comes to mind, you have Isaac. Why? Because Isaac wasn't the first child, in the sense of, but he's called the first son because he is the child of the Spirit. You know, so, his door second, he came after Ishmael, but he's called the only begotten son. Even though Father Abraham had no children even after Sarah. So that means that phrase that I told you before, when you see his term, that is literally impossible. You can't call the second child the first one, and when you have other children, you call the person the only begotten. So when that language is used, the figure of speech, that is Isaac stands in the stead of Christ. Okay? And the same thing with Jacob. He got the first born person, again, while to explain election, that you don't have to qualify, you have to qualify. These are just phrases that God borrows from the New Testament. So when you have Christosia, it refers to God by salvation, okay, by redemption has children, because Israel is my son by redemption. That's why Galatians 4:4 first of all says that he might redeem them. Exagorazo, which is an Exodus language. Redeem is Exodus, and he took them out of. So by the taking out of, Israel is my son. So we are in the son by redemption. That's basically what Paul is saying. So now, why did Israel, he said, I called them to worship me to have them inheritance that I promised their fathers. So when we are firstborn, inheritance is in mind, son, Helios. And yet somebody can claim what belongs to the Father and reflect the Father. So that phrase, okay, son has to do with inheritance, okay, and has to do also with taking possession of what belongs to. It has to do with a descendant as well. It's the mother also does with is to explain reflection of someone. To reflect his likeness. Okay? So Helios, who is here, will be inheritance. And who was the inheritance of Israel? God. He told Abraham, I am your reward. I am your shield. So if you inherit God, you reflect it. So God is that inheritance that we have as sons. So when you have sons, it's inheritance. You reflect likeness. Okay, if you are in the first service, if you have likeness, where is that from again? Genesis 1:26-28, alright? So, when you have that, it's talking about the same person, to show different elements of the same person. It's not a strange thing. There is child and there is son. That's even grammatically ridiculous. So, now, looking at Romans 8 and 16, go back to Romans 8. As many as don't want to die with death, as you don't want to death at all. I'm just trying to tell you how words are used. In Romans 8:16, for the spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children. Now, if I say children today, it depends on what you're talking about. If I say children, I'm referring to kids. Not just to young folks. For the same person, I say that child. Particularly when you're a teenager. How is that child? You look at a person like this. I'm not a child. And what is that happening to a teenager? I can't use the spirit on your beard. He said, I'm not a kid again. Yeah, stuff like that. Very bad, you know what I'm saying? But there's also a sense when someone says, oh, these are my children. And then you're already 70. He's not saying, these are my children. You see my hand, these are my children. It means these are my children. Right? Those I gave birth to. So when you have technon, okay? Technon is used for your seed, someone you give birth to. And I checked where that word came from, is the word tikto. T-I-K-T-O. Tikto. It simply means to bring forth. Tikto. Matthew 1:21. Let's check where that word is used. Matthew 1:23-25. Matthew 2:2. Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1:23-25. Matthew 2:2. Then Luke 1:3. Luke 1:15. Luke 1:57, Luke 2:6-7, John 16:11. John 16:21, sorry. Right. So now in Galatians 4:27, it's also used for bringing forth. Then Hebrews 6:7 is about the herb, bringing forth fruits. Hebrews 6:7. Take two. Then John 1:15, sin, to bring forth sin. And 5 times in the book of Revelation. So it's to bring forth. So it's not a spiritual development. It's just to explain a birth. And I can refer to somebody who was born 60 years ago as a petrol, just to show the relationship between father and son. Is that clear? Is that very clear? So it's not a stage in development. Now, so if you are called children of God, it's to show birth. If you are called sons of God, it's to show position. Let me just tell you. Is that clear? Because here. Position. Pecan, birth, is not a stage. Now, in this instance, the father who is born is a son. Is that clear? Is that very clear? So, now, that means that many phrases like this, when you read son, children, infants, they are like adjectives. So, you must qualify them. They are adjectives. So, when you're born again, you're born again a son. You're born again a children. So a child. A child. Alright? Born again an heir. You weren't born again incomplete to now grow into a son. That's extremely ridiculous. So when you see faces like that, son, children, they are expressions of what God has done. Is that a stage of development? However, there are others used. Okay? For example, you find nephews who have babies. Nephews. Now, let me quickly say this. N-E-P-I-O-S. Nephews. Now, in Ephesians 4:14, look at that. Ephesians 4:14. We have from breakfast, right? We are going to hear Holos, Professor Techman, right? Now, we are on nephews. Ephesians 4:14, that you be no longer children. Now, look at our children there. Some people say babes. You be no longer children. Now, why would I use babes? Because the word nephews means three things actually. It means innocence. It means ignorance. You know, innocence and ignorance can be positive. You can be ignorant of bad things. So except you are like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom. That ignorance, which is innocence. But elsewhere you be no longer babes. That ignorance of the world. So I've said that to you many times, words only have meanings in their sentences. In the context where they are used. So what are the positive here and what is positive there? It depends on where and how a word is used. For example, look at Matthew 11:35. The same word Paul said that you be no longer babes. Matthew 11:35. Jesus said that God has hidden his wisdom from the king and the wise. He has revealed them to the youth. Now, what is the Matthew 11:25 that is positive? You know why? It means those who are willing to learn. Who don't know? Okay? Whereas the wise will be those who believe they know. The same word. Same in Matthew 21:16 and Luke 10:21, positively. So, there's an attitude that they do, a child likes to hear to learn. Are you there? Are you following what I'm saying? Now, in Romans 2:20, that phrase again is used a teacher of the babes or the immature is being considered as negative. However, let us get to the epistle. Look at 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 1. Paul says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Right? Now, babe there will be your childish. We are ignorant. We are underdeveloped. It's not positive. And again, it's a figure of speech. Because in the new birth, we are a son. Right? So if I use babe, it was never a figure of speech. I'm already saying you are reflecting God. How can I now call you babe? That means you can't be a babe and a son at the same time. One of them has to be a figure of speech. Who doesn't use the word figure of speech? Who doesn't use the figure of speech? Son. Well, the word is a figure of speech. So the figure of speech has to be a babe. Now, you can't be a son who reflects the father and then the other part in the nephews. So one of them must be a figure of speech and has to be the babe. Does that make sense?
I know.
Now, look at 1 Corinthians 13:11. Why that word is used 5 times? Let's make sense. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But now, I put away childish things. The things of a child, nephews. So, it's used for spiritual growth. A state of innocence, a state of ignorance. In Galatians 4:1, a child, an heir, as long as he is a child, defies nothing from the servant. Okay? And then in verse 3, okay, that's a figure of speech. In Ephesians 4:14, that you no longer remain as children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That shows a state of spiritual growth. Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Now, notice the word child there is nephews, but the teacher won't fight. It is God has adopted us as children. This is the word predestined us as children, sorry. Predestined us as children. Holiness. We reflect Him. Ephesians 2:18. We have lost Him. Ephesians 2:20. We have the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus. So did God create an ignorant person? No. So that is descriptive of conduct. So when you see this, okay, is descriptive of your conduct, not of your person, of your nature as God's son. You can't, you are not born again as a babe. The new creation is complete in Him. Right? However, in our conduct and our growth, we are levels of knowledge. So therefore, we now have to use this figure of speech, babes. We spoke to breakfast in the moment. Breakfast, we have to use figures of speech. So, this can be positive, right? But it can also be negative. Now, let me show you somewhere. 1 Corinthians 14. I'm challenging the Greek word, but that's why I'm not going to call it nephews. 1 Corinthians 14, 21. So, 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Albeit in knowledge be ye children. Can you see now? Can you see? In the world of the world, do be a child. But when it comes to bad things, you get it now. Be ignorant. So you can see how it can be positive and negative. Is that clear? Now look at other positive ones. First of all,
chapter 2 and verse 7. I'll start from 6. We have learned some regret in many of you. We have learned from others where we might have been given some as the apostles of Christ. Let's read verse 7 together. We were trying to be offensive, that means in the word nephews. We were innocent among you, even as the lost cherishes our children. We are innocent. In Galatians 9:13, Hebrews 5:13. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the law of righteousness, and he is a babe. So, this places babes. Okay, so let's start with, let's take it again. I'm going to ask you, literal or figurative? Strong. Okay? Whichever one, I think that's all. That comes with figurative. So, what else as new born babes? Which is a description of a child in the womb, actually. What else? What else is about the middle 3:15? From a babe in the womb, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. That's funny. You can't know scriptures from David. So that would be a figure of speech. So that is real age, is natural age, but figurative of a spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, good. So that is Paul is describing Timothy's spiritual growth. Now, let's take a quick look at what he was referring to. Look at Acts 16. Hallelujah. This is where he met Timothy. Verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and the only certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the journey to Lystra. And he was well reported, he had good manners. He would have to go with him and took the circumcision. And sympathizing because of the Jews were the prophets, where they all knew his father was Greek. So, this was where he met him. So, as we Paul didn't know him from the point where he was born again. But Paul had a good report of him. That this fellow was in constant development, constant growth in the world. So, Timothy obviously matured into ministry. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, go back there. From a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. So, there are two opposite words. From a stage of ignorance or no knowledge, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you an expert, sophizo. So, that means 2 Timothy 3, 15. Describe spiritual growth. Is that what it says? So, that means as Christians, all of us are from the birth stage. Where you now have the beginning stage of your growth. Not like you say, a child's life starts from the womb. The moment there's conception, that is what we are birth. So, it's like it grew in the world. So, it's not saying that we're in the womb. So, that statement is like an adjective. So really, when you read scriptures, always ask yourself, is this statement literal, or is it to refer to something? So in this instance, when it says from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Again, boxes and reinforces that you can't have spiritual growth outside the precise understanding of the scriptures. And don't forget, the scripture that Timothy is said to have known is the Old Testament. So is spiritual growth possible because of human matters? Yes. But spiritual growth is only possible when they are properly explained. Mark has said in the first service about Jesus in Luke 2:26-27. Now, since the child of many of those scriptures which are able to make you wise in salvation through faith that is in Christ. In. So he becomes an expert, sophizo. In what Peter uses in 1 Peter 1:16, pardon me, which is to mean you have become an expert of insight. So you can't have spiritual growth without adequate insight in the scriptures. There must be adequate insight. You can't quote scriptures and just be aware of scriptures. Now, Peter did say that some people in 2 Peter 3:16, he says, they that are unstable and unlearned do less the scriptures as telepaths in the Greek, they twist it, they turn it around. So, when you have scriptures wrongly used, you can't have spiritual growth. You can have activity, but you can't have spiritual growth. You can't remove spiritual growth. You can't remove an adequate knowledge of the work of spiritual growth. You can have activities. Your father said that you have become a child because you now only have a disciple. He never said so. He said because you have known the Holy Scriptures. In the Greek, which has you have precise insight into what it is. So you can't. The Christian scriptures cannot bring spiritual growth. It can only bring unstable men into spiritual growth. Is that fair? Okay. It is able to make you wise in salvation through faith, which is in Christ. Look at verse 16:23. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, he says, to Timothy, and they are profitable. Now, notice. He traces his spiritual growth to the scriptures. When he says, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God, just one word. And they are profitable to tell him us of this advantage for doctrine. Doctrine is where you have the word didaskalia, teaching of proper teaching or explanation. Then he says, reproof. The other people do not eleko in the Greek, E-L-E-G-C-H-O. Which means persuasion. So in the doctrine of the Old Testament, persuasion. That what can be found in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the echo of things not true. Then he says of reproof, that's the word, then of correction. The word correction is the word epanathosis. Just use once the New Testament Greek, E-P-A-R-N-A-R-T-H-O-S-I-S. E-P-A-R-N-A-R-T-H-O-S-I-S. Now, because it's used just once, we have something that is derived from. It's the word anophu. A-N-O-R-T-H-O-O. A-N-O-R-T-H-O-O. It's used in Luke 13:13 for a straightening of a bent body, healing. In Acts 15:16 for restoration. And Hebrews 12:12 for restoration. So in other words, it appears that the point is saying here is there's a correction in the scriptures about God. So one, there's a testimony about God, there's a correction about God, and your view and opinion, and then lastly, he says for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. And this is the outcome of it. The word is Padi in the Greek, P-A-I-D-E-I-A. P-A-I-D-E-I-A. Now, this is quite particular about this word because the word I, P-A-I-S, is used for a male song, a male boy. Now, in the use of this language, I, P-A-I-S, we have P-A-D-I, I mean, just a quick review. Is used for how you mentor a boy into a man.
the mental ability you have in terms of, is this for training? Where a young Jewish boy is sent to someone to go and learn from him. So he mentored him to have a group. Some of the times the boy is released almost by the parents to take it to the man. So the man now assumes the role of the father, where he must mentor the child to manhood. So he's describing exactly what he said about Timothy in 15 and 16. That the way you became mature or you became skillful is that the Lord persuaded you, made you to salvation, corrected you, but never brought about growth. So that will be the relationship between the father and the son, where the father mentors the son to manhood. You find that first in Hebrews 12:5, Hebrews 12:7, Hebrews 12:8, and Hebrews 12:11. Hebrews 12:5, Hebrews 12:7, Hebrews 12:8, Hebrews 12:11. And you always see Father in the background. Anytime this word is used, Father is in the background. Just like Ephesians 6:4, Father is in the background. So it's a father mentoring a boy to a man. What is that saying? That means the impact of my knowledge of the scriptures is to grow. That's the impact. Just like Timothy, I now become skillful in salvation through faith, which is found in Christ. Which means that all the letters, right, to all the churches, Paul's letters to all the churches, which includes Colossians, Ephesus, the word Ephesus is very disputable. I must just mention that. It is always said, and I think I agree, that that letter was one of those letters Paul wrote to all the churches together. And it was read by all the churches, but somehow Ephesus took the copyright. You know, I guess because it was here for 2.5 years. So it must be our own, you know. But it's in front of these letters that I didn't say to, when I said to Colossians, but it was not clear in the original. However, in writing to this church record, or all churches, Paul must in his mind intend that as he's explained the Old Testament to them, it will bring persuasion, correction, but the end point is what? Growth. That they will grow. Now, in Ephesians 3:4, I have to read because our text is Ephesians 6:10. We're going to read it in a moment. But Ephesians 6, okay, 3:4, I mentioned this in the first service. I thought and pray. I have the revelation made known unto me, the mystery which I wrote afore in few words. Whereby when you read, of course, this verse 3 just gives us the idea that this letter must have been to everybody. I wrote after that, there's other things you have written before now. You know, and then he says in 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, what is the word read? I said in the first letter, if I'm going to translate this place, I don't use read. Because it seems to mean that God may just speak about that or read. No. It is not that Jesus, many times in talking to the Pharisees in the four Gospels, they tell them, have you not read? Matthew 12:3, for example. I mean, that is like an insult. If you talk to a doctor of the Bible who his entire life, he should read the Old Testament letters or books. So have you not read? But see, the word read there carries a more intense meaning. It's the word anagnosko in the Greek. A-N-A-G-I-N-O-S-K-O. A-N-A-G-I-N-O-S-K-O. The word anag, I think of the anagnosko. Ana means power. And then gnosko means perceive or view. So put together with me a thorough view. Now, if you want to have a thorough view of the house, I told you I have done valuation before. You have to value your house or property. Maybe it's not your own, but home. On your own. Or you have to value a car. You know,
You know, they look at everything. Not Zeneca. So please, you are just ignore that. The mirror is very wrong. I can see now. Yeah, I see. When I do that, you say, don't like that. If you go abroad, you see what you will see. But I see now, I'm not going to have any of it. You know what I'm saying? The guy that wants to buy it, you look at that and it has no value. You say a few things, which means he has to be poor. Very, very poor. I know how someone that wanted to buy a company. I asked someone to do an audit of the company for me. I mean, that was my first time of buying over a company that was paralyzed. And I employed their former accountant. I don't know how I did it to. And the guy don't know what I want to do. You know, by the time we bought the company, there were many dead bodies. In fact, there were even carcasses. In fact, I eventually spoke to them. They were not respected with all you learned in school. How would you? And the guy entered my body. You know, he did that in your back. Because we were talking Jesus. So, look at the auditor and the guy who wants to buy that car. What do you do to value that car for you? You say, but there's no big deal now. It's a car, it's a big deal, it's money. It will look at every detail. And sometimes, when you want to get to a higher level of auditing, you say, that's right. Because you are still afraid of doing it, it's 1 million. The guy doesn't know. I got this. If I have to give it away, it's 200K. The first one is going to be okay. God bless you. But look at that everything as Bible study. I'm not being a school. The way we treat the Bible is like a suggestion. Sometimes like a comic. Just read through that. We don't think we should attach serious importance to it. That's why I want to come to you. He said, when you read it to me, give it to the editor. Let me read it to me and take the other to have all read it to me. I don't understand about it. They don't have copying machines. So most of the time, everybody will read the same letter. So your meditation has to be top notch. The same letter. I don't have to copy the copy manual. That's why I have another transcript and different number. So that's a big mistake from here. But the thing is this, if the man did it, let me say something. In spiritual growth, AD 46, the man did all the reading of the scriptures. And talk about it, what we are reading was not first letters. Is the entire Genesis of the No. That's for my people. I believe that saving faith gives you worship of God in the little world. There's something about salvation that drives you to love, admire,
the study of the scriptures. When it is not present, the family is suspect. In fact, it's criminal. Because what are you so guilty? You take the scriptures, there is about 5 minutes in the Bible. 5 minutes is upon your soul. 5 minutes! The scripture is a Christian. That's common. You can't do it. If you're not trusting you, you can never do it. You will only be lacking time to be Christian. You don't be around the body of Christ. Either as a Jesse, not as a member. Don't know. Because growth is impossible without that due acquisition. So what he says, when you have read, the word reads. And imagine Paul calling all his letters few words. Now, why are you calling few words? You put some power on the Genesis. That's it. So by reading few words, in comparison to the scriptures of the prophets, what do you mean? So, I would rather use that word means and call it stable. I'll change the word read because I'm not in those space, thorough study, which involves auditing, reading properly. I said there are four kinds of reading that you have. The person that mentioned this. The first kind of reading is to read at a glance. You read at a glance. Have you ever read this or read before? You have just watched it. Hey, what happened to that guy? You. Because I want you to quickly tell me what's going on. Hey. Tell me. Really? Tell me what's watching it now. I just want to know. You have glass. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I saw a car. Just read carelessly. I tell the fellow in a class one day, one of his chiefs, the fellow chief, he just got into the working place and he saw the same newspapers. He just took it. And then he turned the newspapers upside down. Are you there? So I said, my chief, look at the thing in
Respectable man of God. Spirit has fought the good fight. That's what happened. Because when the man that has been eating, that's the same way when we stream through scripture. We want it to say, we want it to say, the way we want it to say it. The pattern of reading is when you read the biased mind. Your mind is biased. The last kind of reading is what I just mentioned. Fire reading, study. Imagine if you read your school books with a glance. What can you do? Or you just pick everything you like. You have chapter 1. You stop in chapter 1. You have chapter 5. Thank you, Lord teacher. Your failure will be put at the school gate. You have to read thoroughly. That's the same way you must read the scripture. So Paul expects that the scripture going to come from his letters. You must read everything. I tell you about the purpose of this. When you single out the story of Abraham, you are reading mischievously in Genesis. It is time that started from Genesis where you must read to the end. Because that book was never written in chapters. It is storyline. We break it down to paragraphs. What leads into the other? What you lead into the other? What was said before? That's how to go. So scripture gives an intelligent approach to scripture. You must be intelligent about it. Ephesians 6 and 10. We're looking at the authority of the believer. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, because it's a part of it, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. There's no time for us to be strong. There is no time for us to be strong. No, that is the people. How can you start a book from the 6th chapter? What does it take from the 10th verse? Even if you start from the back, that is too backwards. You have to start reading from the beginning. Yeah. Look at the point finally. So finally, my brother, maybe I'll have a conference. After the conference is 4 days, before the last one, you say, finally! Because in your mind, finally is personal, but whatever form by the upper knee. I don't understand, whatever you think. Or I don't know it. Whatever you think. Amen. This is the comment that we have. Let me choose this kingdom. The reason is that old language, let's start from there, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Henceforth, from what I have been saying, based on all I have been saying, based on things I have said so far, so they finally will be an instruction for making progress, not an end point. For example, look at and take from now to later on. Look at Philippians 8. Finally, my brethren, Philippians 8. Now go back to Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren. There are two finalies. Finally, finally. One of my brethren of God, a good minute opposes five times. Finally, finally, finally. Anyway, it simply means henceforth from here. Start with 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. See how your mindset can throw you off. 2 Timothy 4, 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Why is it henceforth? Here I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. So, because of this, in going forward, what I will get out of it is so and so. 2 Timothy 4, 8. This is the last part that you have put in there. Follow my brethren, which is the word henceforth. Furthermore, back there. So, change it to furthermore. Do you understand? You will change this to what finally? Furthermore. Apply what I've said earlier. Also in Hebrews 10:13. Henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. From this. So it is actually a continuing term, not a final term. And there are many words like that that people have known. I have also sometimes way back mistook those words that way. Look at Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Are you seeing that? Those who heard the gospel in the Old Testament scripture and they don't believe. there were a lot of them.
you are referring to the Bible language. For example, let's just see something quickly. When you see women in the Bible, in the New Testament, epistles, the way translations have done the term women is a little bit very uncomfortable. Because it's just one Greek word for both woman, young woman, single woman, and married woman. It's just one word. So what usually determines what the writer intends will be what he was saying before it and what he says after. Let me give you a ground rule. Every time you read a woman, submit to man, his husband and wife. Every time you see woman and man referring to a defined status, it is a wife. For example, in 1 Corinthians 11, where he mentions the woman, the man is the head of the woman, is the man is the head of his wife. It's not every woman. And that was difficult, because in chapter 7, he had said that this is the difference between the married and the unmarried. That's what he said also. That the married care for the affairs of our husbands, but the unmarried, the Lord. But already, now, he wouldn't expect you to read chapter 11 without reading chapter 7. But the error of reading chapter 11 is that, just as I've been saying, we are not reading from. If you have read the whole book, you will see the distinction between the married and the unmarried before you go to 11. Let me see what I'm saying here. Now, when you get to 14, that's on the cover text, that the woman should keep silent in the churches. If you come to the next chapter 7, you know, you will have a problem with what he's saying if you are reading 11, when you talk about a woman prophesying with her head uncovered. Where is he prophesying? In a village meeting. He's in the church. You have overread that. Okay? And of course, like a guy that brought that up one day, said, let me make and I said, you know, in the church, he said, fine. So that means I have the entire service. Thank you, money. Let's play Nigeria game. The guy was looking at me like, that's the office. So, they tell you as their husbands. So, that's nice. And obviously, the most of them, something is referring to that has to do with husband and wife. And not Christian worship. So sometimes what will deliver you is under the new school. Is that correct? Most of the Bible schools I teach, I stress this enough in my first two classes. And now, to be honest, this is my 21st year teaching Bible schools. They always say this, that it's like that aspect of living is where the problem has been. That in virtually every Bible school I've taught, both home and abroad, and under abroad, it's just the same thing. Just be patient and lead. Lead the whole thing. And how many minutes ago? Wow. How did I see it? You didn't read it. Neither does, but it's still too. Describe
someone, or something that could describe. When you have this, not once were these words used for material possession. From nothing to revelation. I read this quote that we used before. I remember how God taught it in the 90s. Blessed and powerful prosper. You read it before? I read it before. Empowered to prosper. That the word blessed means empowered to prosper. There are some evils in the body of Christ. Some are small, small evils. Some are medium-sized devils. Since I thought the proper one is a big devil. Because without studying, many people assume, if I'm saying the last majority of people I know, assume that what it means. But if you follow into the mix of the things said after, there's nothing material said. Blessed are you when men kill you. Blessed when men insult you. Who calls you blessed? God. Men insulted you, he calls you blessed. Blessed men that curse you. Somebody curses you and you speak well of him. Can you see what it means? So if not, why can't they come to you and say, are you blessing? Doesn't mean it's not a millionaire. So, use Bible now, Bible way. Collegium or Kairos are used to speak of what a man is, what he has done, is not what he possesses. It's a result of action. Acts 20, it is more 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What does that mean? It is given that is commanded, not receiving. Well, listen, it's not blessed. The give. The blessing is in the giving. When you give, what you are doing is that you are tapping into the blessing. Tell your neighbor, say, are you a giver? It is in the giving that you have the blessing. God bless you. Rubbish. You find that when you give, that action is commended. That is what is commendable. So, you are fortunate by giving. You have done well by giving. That's what it means. Mark 14:61. So now, God has given one thing. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The term here is Shilogitos. E-U-L-O-G-E-T-O-S. E-U-L-O-G-E-T-O-S. It's a phrase used around, used only for God. You know, today I'm in sense to say God is empowered to prosper. We'll start with this. God is empowered to prosper. I can't go to prosper. You know, okay, if you say that, Herodotus is this from God, Mark 14:61, Luke 1:68, used for Jesus, Mark 14:61, Luke 1:68, Romans 1:25, used for God, Romans 9, blessed be God, blessed be God. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 1:3. 2 Corinthians 11:31. 2 Corinthians 1:3. 2 Corinthians 11:31. 1 Corinthians 1:3. It means you are worthy to be spoken well of. You are worthy to be spoken well of. So, when you blessed be God, it means he deserves to be spoken well of. You know why it is never used for us? Because we don't deserve to. It's a gift. Let me see how you understand that. It's used only for God. Because it deserves to be well spoken of. It deserves it. Worthy of praise. So the word blessed, which is blessed be God, the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us? So if you are not saying that one is greater than two pieces, you are not saying one more piece, right? Or what can I use? Who can help me? What can I use? Huh? What? Huh? To speak better, what I do, why are you qualified? Worthy, qualified, deserves to be praised is God, right? Okay, who has blessed us? Now, your blessed there is different. The second one is you are a Jew. E-U-L-O-G-E-O. Two words. E-U-L-O-G-E-O. E-U means well. Well, for them to be well, E-U in the Greek is well. Logos to speak. So, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has spoken well of us, well, in Christ. That means, yeah, he speaks of us well. What God has to say about you is said well in Christ. He has spoken well of us well in Christ. Now, I'm trying to say that. If you speak with tongues, and what happened here is in 1 Corinthians 15, 17. If thou blessed with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies, sorry, verse 16. The seed of the Lord say amen as a giver of thanks. Thou daily give thanks well. So, thanksgiving is blessing. To speak well. Okay? So, therefore, now let's put it together. We're going to look at this. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get it down. What we have is God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has spoken well of us, spoken things well of us, with every spiritual. Now, when we say every, is it any kind that comes to your mind, or what is in that statement? Very fine. So the every is in that statement. The every is not in your mind. The every is in what Paul wrote. With every spiritual, okay, spiritual blessing, things spoken of by the Spirit, or spoken of in the Spirit. Now, again, with every spiritual blessing, it changes the terms of media. E-U-L-L-G-I-E. So we have three words to battle. We have geogetic, spoken of God, love your praise. We have geo, to speak well of. Then we have geo, what is said itself. E-U-L-L-G-I-E, what is said. Now, we have geo-geo. Is this 16 times? I'm going to go through it all together. The first time you will see it, in this reference, it's in Romans 15:29. The blessing of the gospel. The blessing. That is, the blessedness of the gospel is what God has done in Christ. That's the blessing. What? The blessing of the gospel. How I come here, the blessing of the gospel. When I leave, when I leave, when I leave, when I leave, when I leave. That's what he's saying. The blessing of the gospel is the blessedness itself. Christ Jesus. Romans 15:29. The blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now, interestingly, he uses the same phrase in Romans 16:18. For flattery, scoping, to scope. For they that are sought, sought not by the Lord Jesus Christ, but by their own body, and by good words and fair speeches. Flattery. So, that means, what is in their words is to flatter others. Phrygia. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of the blessing. before I just learn time, when you find the wrong bounty, is the wrong behavior. That means something worthy of commendation, a blessedness. 2 Corinthians 9:5 and 2 Corinthians 9:6. In Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham of the blessedness. In Hebrews 6:7, the blessing from God. Hebrews 12:17, he did not inherit the blessing. That's Esau. Hebrews 3:10, words. And 1 Peter 3:9, a blessing. So Hebrews 6:7, Hebrews 12:17, James 3:10, 1 Peter 3:9. So, what you are saying is, blessed be God, worthy of praise, who has spoken well of us with all blessedness of the Spirit. So, the blessedness is of the Spirit. That adjective is used for what is of the Spirit and what is by the Spirit. We're going to explore that shortly. In heavenly places in Christ, the problem we have to deal with is heavenly. And the heavenly is the word epouranios. 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 It means things of heaven or from heaven. So Paul uses what I call epistemological and apologetic theology. Spiritual and heavenly are the same. That is, what is spiritual is heavenly in nature. And what is heavenly is spiritual. Now, just put these verses down. We're going to explore them as well. Ephesians 1, it uses that term, heavenly, in the same book. That's it. The things were in heaven, which on earth in Christ. Then chapter 12, chapter 1 again, verse 20. He wrote in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The heavenly. Epouranios. Chapter 2, verse 5. He quickened us together in Christ, verse 6, raised us up and made us sit in the heavenlies. Chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent now that the priesthood and powers in the heavenlies were ruled by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Chapter 3, verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So you can see the heavenly, he said in chapter 1, chapter 3, he explains it. Let me see how they're telling this. Now, chapter 4, verse 8. Wherefore, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave this unto men. Now, he ascended is the first, now also descended to the lower parts of the earth. He ascended, so he ascended and far up into above all heavens that he might fill all things. So, this is heavenly, the heavenly is talking about. Chapter 6, verse 12. First and the reason against flesh and blood and against the flesh and powers, against the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm going to do this separation for us in the next service. The heavens of prayer is spiritual. That's what he's talking about. So, our key word there will be spiritual blessing. What do we mean by spiritual? Now, the word spiritual is the Greek word pneumaticos. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. P-N-E-U-M-A-T-I-K-O-S. It's used for what is in the Spirit, or by the Spirit, or from the Spirit. Let's go through a few things. What is my level? I will impart unto you, Paul says, some spiritual gifts. Or from the Spirit. John 7:14. The law is spiritual. Now, when I say the law is spiritual, I told you, it's talking about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:2. Not the law of sin and death. Romans 15:27, it says, the Jews, Jerusalem, they have given to you, they have shared with you their spiritual things. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, quickly go there. Verse 13. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What do you mean by spiritual things? Because he says, God has revealed them unto us, verse 10, by his spirit. Verse 12. We have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God. 1 Corinthians 2:15. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. 1 Corinthians 3:1. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. 1 Corinthians 9:11. It was shown to you our spiritual things. Now, there's one that demands some carefulness. 1 Corinthians 10:3. Spiritual meat, spiritual drink, spiritual walk. I'll explain that next service. It's a highly term. It's the way to drink of the spiritual drink. So the reason why we wouldn't get their water from the rock was to figuratively point them to the world they were saying. But what I'm saying is like water to you. Why did you give them bread? So that they know that the world is speaking to them that words like their food, which is spiritual in nature. 1 Corinthians 10:3 and 4. In 1 Corinthians 5:1, now concerning spiritual things. We are talking about gifts, ministries, and operations. 1 Corinthians 13:1, these are spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 14:37. 12:37. He that is spiritual, there are prophets. 1 Corinthians 15:44. That which was natural, then that which was spiritual. There's a natural body and a spiritual body, verse 36. That is, a body that will be made by the Spirit of God. Now, talking about the resurrection of the body. Galatians 6:1. Let them that are spiritual restore. Colossians 1:9. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. Colossians 3:16. Spiritual songs. 1 Peter 2:5, spiritual house to offer spiritual sacrifices. So the term spiritual means by the Spirit. What was done by the Spirit. And what, Peter, what belongs to us by the Spirit. So when Paul is talking about the spiritual blessedness, it has to do with the indwelling of the Spirit. So the spiritual blessedness is not a possession outside salvation. It's the indwelling of the Spirit. Because Paul mentions what are the blessedness in the fall, he talks about the amount of souls. So we are not chosen, but accepted, and approved in the fall, we are not souls. In the sixth year, Lord.
and in the power of His mind. So unto yourselves, the very arm of God. But you can understand this. We're going to close this service. You see, everywhere they find the authority of the believer, and the five gospels in the book of Matthew, it is only related with the preaching of the gospel, nothing more. The authority of the believer is not like just a career. No. It is for the preaching of the gospel. We need to also now involve other things. Yes, we're going to see it as we said. But know that it is never strictly around the preaching of the gospel. Because we're going to see it.